in the Bible, we find a remarkable unity despite an amazing variety or diversity.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
The worth of God's Word, and it's based on these final few verses of 2 Timothy chapter 3. The first half of 2 Timothy 3 really deals with the perils and the properties of apostasy. Paul talks about perilous times coming, and then he gives us the properties of those times in identifying the character of men who will regulate and control. In the latter half of 2 Timothy 3, Paul deals not so much with the subject of the perils and the properties of apostasy, but he deals with our protection against apostasy. And he says, in effect, that protection comes as a result of the influence and the character of God's Word. It comes from the Scriptures. I think it's appropriate to say that we still live in an era of theological defection. Paul lived in an era of theological defection. All they that be of Asia had forsaken him. The great awakening had been followed by the great abandoning. And there were theological deviants in Paul's day, much as there are in our day and age. We still live in an era of theological defection. And our greatest resource against that defection is the Word of God. Others do not have such a high view of God's Word as perhaps we would have. Liberals in our day deny the credibility of God's Word. They say it's unbelievable. You can't believe it. It's incredible. Neo-Orthodox theologians in our day deny the identity of God's Word. They would tell us that the Scriptures, the Word of God, may or may not be found in the Bible. You might be reading some other book. It has some special existential zap from outer space, and that for you would be God's Word as it speaks to your heart. It may or may not be found in the Bible. Liberals deny the credibility of God's Word. Neo-Orthodoxy denies the identity of God's Word. It may or may not be in the Scriptures. Neo-evangelicals, a whole new variety of so-called evangelicals, a new variety who deny the reliability of God's Word. They tell us that we must rethink such critical issues as our view of inspiration, our view of the authority and the authenticity of the Bible. They have a way of coughing up some real theological gems. Theological double talk is what I would call it. They speak on occasion of errant infallibility. We believe in an infallible Bible, but it has errors in it. They put that into print, errant infallibility. They speak of inspired errors. These are neo-evangelicals in our day. How are you and I to face that kind of defection? In the face of that kind of defection and confusion, liberals denying the Bible's credibility, neo-orthodoxy denying its identity, neo-evangelicals denying its reliability, certain parts of the Bible are not to be trusted. They say that the Bible infallibly leads a man to salvation, so we can believe those parts that deal with salvation, but those other parts we can't believe, history and science and so on. And I say that we take the whole of God's Word. Every bit of it is God's Word. In the face of that kind of defection and confusion, we must do what Paul told Timothy to do. You notice what he says there in verse 14? He says, "Continue thou in the things that thou hast learned." Abide in the Scriptures. In other words, Paul says, and he would say it to us as well as to Timothy and the people of his day, in other words, reaffirm your loyalty to the Word of God. Declare your position in the midst of grave theological defection. declare your position once again as a biblicist, one who adheres to the whole counsel of God's Word in all of its parts. We must echo clearly in our day and age an undiminished confidence in the absolute accuracy and authenticity and authority of Scripture. Let me suggest for a few moments that we ought to thank God for the unparalleled excellence of His Word. I hope you have a thankful spirit for the rich qualities of God's Word, the authoritative voice of God coming out to us from the pages of Scripture. We ought to thank God for the unparalleled excellence of His Word, and we ought to purpose to live by its precepts and obey what it says. And I want you to notice with me four powerful characteristics of Scripture that seem, in my mind, to emerge from this passage, particularly beginning in verse 15 down through verse 17 of 2 Timothy chapter 3. There are four powerful characteristics of Scripture which emerge from that passage. There are other ways of looking at this passage, but it's my own conviction that the overriding theme of this section of Scripture is the Word of God. And Paul is looking at it from various directions. And as I see it, there are four powerful characteristics of Scripture that are presented in this passage that are designed to induce us to be thankful for the unparalleled excellence that exists within the pages of God's Word. And they're designed to motivate us, to purpose in our hearts, that we will obey the precepts of the Word of God. Now, what do you see in those verses? These are the four things that I see with respect to Scripture. Number one, Paul says that the Scripture is sacred in its character. And he refers to the Bible as the Holy Scriptures. He could say quite literally that these are the sacred letters. That would be a literal rendering of what Paul wants to say. These are the sacred letters. That would be a literal rendering. And it would mean, in Paul's mind, that the Bible is composed of messages from God. It is a compilation, so to speak, of love letters. The very word grammata is the word that's translated scriptures, or can be translated letters. It is a compilation of love letters, and these letters have a sacred quality to them because they come out from God. The Scripture is sacred in its character. By the use of that term, holy, from a child thou hast known, the Holy Scriptures, the sacred Scriptures. By the use of that term, Paul, I believe, would have us to understand that the Bible is a unique book. There's no book like this book, the Bible. It's different from all other volumes that have ever been authored in the history of humanity. And there are many evidences of its uniqueness or its sacredness. Let me list several for you very quickly here. There are many evidences of the sacred, unique character of the Bible. For example, in the Bible we find a remarkable unity despite an amazing diversity or variety. It's a unique book. There's no other book quite like it. It's a sacred book. It's a holy book. In the Bible we find a remarkable unity despite an amazing variety or diversity. There are 66 books in the Bible. It's a library of books. There are 66 books in the Bible. There are over 40 authors who composed those books. The Bible was a millennium and a half in its composition, some 1,600 years in its writing. And yet, the book is not a heterogeneous collection of unrelated essays, but it is a harmonious whole. There's a scarlet thread which runs from Genesis to Revelation. There's a bloodline, so to speak, which runs all the way from Genesis to Revelation that weaves all of those books together. And that bloodline consummates in the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a very unique book. There's a second evidence of its uniqueness, and that is that in the Bible we find a very sensible presentation of the supreme subjects occupying the minds of humanity. We find a very sensible presentation in the Bible of the supreme subjects which occupy the minds of humanity, God and man. Those are supreme subjects, the subject of God and man, sin and salvation, time and eternity, heaven and hell, creation and redemption, with Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the center and the focal point of it all. There's a third evidence. In the Bible, we find a prophetic preciseness. In the Bible, we find a prophetic preciseness. We find predictions, and then centuries later, fulfillments, very precise predictions, and then very precise fulfillments, substantiated in the timeline of history. And that can be understood only in terms of its sacred quality. It is a sacred book. It's the Holy Scriptures. It comes out from God. Prophecy, prophetic preciseness, is an awe-inspiring manifestation of the divine hand of God upon the pages of the Scriptures. In the Bible, we find a universality of circulation and appeal. You know, the Bible is the greatest traveler in the world. It penetrates every civilization in the world. It can be found in royal palaces, and it can be found in humble cottages. It is the friend of emperors, and it is the friend of beggars. It is read by the light of a dim candle amid Arctic snows, and it is read in the glare of equatorial sun on the African continent. It's read in city and in country. It's read in crowds and in solitude. There is a universality to its circulation, to its influence, and to its appeal. Everywhere you go, you can find the vestiges and the remnants, the presence and the influence of the Word of God. Finally, in the Bible, we find an unbelievable and indestructible persistence. The Bible persists against the attacks which have faced it, in spite of the perishable materials upon which it was originally written, and in spite of the assaults and the criticisms to which it has been subjected. The Bible remains intact. It is frequently challenged, but it is utterly unscathed. It continues to have its powerful influence in the lives of those who will place faith in its message, and it is Christ. No book has stood the test of time like the Bible. The Bible has exerted an influence over lives, over societies, over empires and entire civilizations, which is unmatched and unparalleled in all of history. This book, the Bible, which we revere and which we proclaim, is precisely what Paul called it. It is the Holy Scriptures. It is the sacred letter from God, the message which has come out from God, the unique word of the living God to a dying world. And every one of us should give heed to its message. Number one, Paul says very simply, this book is a sacred book. The Scripture is sacred in its character. It's the Holy Scriptures.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
There is a saving wisdom revealed in the pages of Scripture that can be found in no other word.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.